Our text for this morning is the first part of the 42nd Psalm. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, "Where is your God?" When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed in Christ, the small school of our congregation in Scarville, Iowa, has fire drills and tornado drills every semester. We do so in order for the teachers and the children to know where to go for safety, where to go to avoid life-threatening dangers of storm or fire. On this campus, there are maps and signs in dorms and classroom buildings that also direct us to areas of safety if destructive forces come near. When teaching the Christian faith, those who are charged with the care of souls desire that those souls grow in knowing where to go when spiritual storms blow through our lives. We do not presume that such storms will not come. Experience alone tells us to expect trials and affliction. God's word tells us very clearly that we should expect to have such times in our lives as the people of God. The psalm we've heard this morning is one of those places to which we turn to learn about times of trial, stress, doubt. We turn to these, even if we may not be experiencing such times ourselves. We turn to these psalms because we want to be ready for storms, and we want to be able to help others who may not know of the safety God provides. This psalm brings to us one who is going through a spiritual storm. We heard how this believer in God responded. He said, "My soul pants for God. My soul thirsts for God. My tears are my food day and night. I pour out my soul within me." This is one of God's children in trouble. He is troubled because of the affliction and because he sees that God has put it in his life. Why? Why does God allow these troubles? Why does God permit him to suffer here? He can say, "Haven't I gone to the house of the Lord? Have I not heard and trusted in God? Why is this happening?" The unbelievers, the ones who deny the true God, are looking at the believer's life and mocking him. "Where is your God?" This is reminiscent of the words of those who mocked Jesus when he hung on the cross. They said, "If you're the Son of God, come down from the cross." The believer will find no solace in the words of the world. The world will only condemn him more and ridicule him for trusting God. The believer himself may doubt whether God's promises truly are trustworthy. And it is this crisis of faith, this stark contrast between what is experienced and what is believed, that bring these types of questions into the life of the believer. God is good and loving. My life has trials and affliction. How do you solve that? This is the spiritual dilemma, the storm in which the psalmist has found himself. Psalm 42 is a prayer to God, a prayer in which the believer is not afraid to pour out his heart to God, to let God know his questions and his doubts, his fears, even his complaints. but it is much more than a psalm of just complaining to God, because we are given the resolution to the problem. It is a resolution that to the world, again to those who would mock and scorn the Christian faith, will seem as little more than an empty hope. Jesus Christ on the cross did not listen to those who mocked. He stayed with his Father to the end, even going through the most severe storm ever when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Yet Jesus then commended his spirit to his Father at the most critical point in the history of the world, his death on the cross. He did not waver, he did not doubt. He took our sin, the poison of all our sicknesses, allowed his own body to soak them up, and then he died, content in the knowledge that on the third day he would rise again. God would not let his Holy One see corruption. God will not abandon you either. He has not taken away his promises to you, his safety, the forgiveness of your sins. This is yours through faith in Jesus. You may not know when the trials and afflictions are going to end in your life, if ever, but God will not leave you. You are buried with Christ through baptism. You are raised with him already. That is God's truth for you, a truth that has been poured on you through water and the Word. And that truth is brought to all of you today, baptized or unbaptized. You have God's Word, forgiveness of sins. It's the gospel. That is the safe place in the time of spiritual storm. It is this faith, this trust in God, when hope seems dead, that finally allowed the psalmist to conclude, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." God lifts up his countenance upon you, and he gives you peace. That is his blessing laid on you this morning. It is God's face that shines on you, that looks upon you not with a scolding frown, but with the compassion and care of the one who desired to die for you, that you live forever. That is what God has done despite our doubts, and that is why the one holy Christian and apostolic church continues to praise and thank our Savior Jesus Christ. He has done wonderful things. Thanks be to God. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.